Welcome back, Legal Eagles, to another deep dive. Today, we're cracking open a case that's, well, it's a bit of a head-scratcher, to be honest. We're going back to 1976, Arizona, with State v. McCumber.
Ah, State v. McCumber. A classic. And for good reason. This one really gets you thinking about expert witnesses, attorney-client privilege, even a little bit of consent to search.
Yeah, it's got it all. Buckle up, folks.
It's a wild ride.
So the case revolves around William McCumber, convicted of a double murder. Pretty serious stuff. The prosecution's case hinged on shell casings, saying they matched McCumber's .45.
Right, the good old smoking gun argument, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Seems pretty straightforward. You know? Matching gun must be the guy. But hold on, the defense throws a couple of curveballs.
Oh yeah, they did. They came out swinging, first with a challenge to the prosecution's ballistics expert. Wanted to bring in their own guy, Charles Byers.
Okay, classic defense strategy, right? Two sides to every story, get another expert in there. So what made Byers different?
Well, Byers was a bit of an enigma. He had, get this, over 25 years of experience analyzing firearms. Like, this guy knew his stuff, hands-on, in the trenches kind of knowledge.
Wow, 25 years, that's a long time.
Right, but here's the kicker. He didn't have any formal qualifications, no fancy degrees or certifications to his name. And to everyone's surprise, the trial judge wouldn't let him testify because of it.
Wait, seriously? They dismissed over two decades of experience because he didn't have a piece of paper? That doesn't seem right.
And you're not alone in thinking that. The Arizona Supreme Court actually sided with the defense on this one. They ruled that the trial judge, well, he kind of overstepped by focusing only on Byers' lack of credentials.
Interesting. So what was the court's reasoning there? Were they saying experience trumps a formal education?
In essence, yes. They were looking for special knowledge, whether it came from hitting the books or years of practical experience. They even quoted a previous case saying, an expert may be a layperson with knowledge superior to the general public through experience or study.
So it's not about the diploma. It's about what you know and how well you can explain it.
Exactly. They were saying, can this person help the jury understand complex evidence? That's what matters.
That's fascinating. It really challenges how we define expertise, doesn't it? Think about all those fields where experience is everything, you know? Fingerprint analysts, accident reconstructionists, they might not all have PhDs, but they know their stuff.
Right. It's about real-world knowledge, the kind you get from being in the thick of it.
Okay, so that's the first curveball. A fascinating look at how the court weighed practical experience versus formal credentials.
Mm-hmm.
What was the second argument the defense threw out there?
Well, this one dives into the murky waters of attorney-client privilege. Get ready for a twist.
Oh boy, I'm intrigued. Hit me with it.
The defense claimed they had a confession. But not just any confession. This one came from a deceased client of two attorneys. They wanted those attorneys to testify about what their client had revealed.
Wow. A confession from beyond the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a bombshell. But I'm guessing there's a reason why those attorneys couldn't just spill the beans, right? Yeah. Attorney-client privilege and all that.
You got it. The trial court said, nope, privilege still applies, even if the client's gone. And the majority of the Arizona Supreme Court agreed.
So even death doesn't break that seal. Attorney-client privilege is pretty sacred, huh?
It is, at least in Arizona. Their law is very clear that privilege continues after death and can only be waived by the client's estate. But, and this is a big but, there was a dissenting opinion in this case that really throws a wrench in the whole thing.
A dissenting opinion. Now you've got my attention. Who was stirring the pot?
This was Justice Holohan, and he had some strong words about the whole situation.
Oh, I bet he did. Let's hear it. What did Justice Holohan have to say?
Justice Holohan argued that by excluding this confession, the court was actually violating McCumber's due process rights. He brought up Chambers v. Mississippi, a pretty big Supreme Court case, which basically says you can't just ignore evidence that might prove someone innocent, even if it's hearsay.
So Justice Holohan felt that, in this case, the right to a fair trial was more important than keeping that attorney-client privilege airtight.
Yeah, that was his point. He argued that since the client was already deceased, revealing the confession wouldn't really hurt anyone. And since this confession could have been the key to proving McCumber's innocence, he thought the court should have at least considered it. He called it a declaration against penal interest, which basically means a statement that could potentially incriminate the person who said it.
Wow, that's a pretty compelling argument. So you've got this clash between protecting confidential communication and making sure an innocent person isn't wrongly convicted because they can't use a vital piece of evidence. That's a tough one.
It really is. It goes to the heart of what we think of as a fair justice system. It forces us to consider which is more important, the confidentiality of attorney-client conversations, or the defendant's right to present all the evidence that might help them.
It's a real ethical dilemma, for sure. Okay, so we've got this tension between experience and credentials when it comes to expert witnesses, and a potential confession that's locked away behind attorney-client privilege. Is there anything else we need to know about this case?
Well, there's one more piece of the puzzle, consent to search.
Okay, lay it on me. What's the deal with the search?
So when the police searched McCumber's home and found his gun, he had given them permission to search. However, he later argued that he only agreed to the search if a friend of his could be there. Naturally, the police said that wasn't part of the deal.
So it becomes a he said, she said situation about the terms of consent. What did the court think about all this?
They ended up siding with the police. They decided there was enough evidence to believe that McCumber had given his consent freely and willingly. Basically, they believed the police officers over McCumber.
So let's recap the three major takeaways from this case. First, it's not all about having the right credentials when it comes to experts. It's about having that special knowledge regardless of how you got it.
Right. Like the court said, experience or study, both can give you the knowledge you need to be an expert. This ruling could really open doors for people who have tons of practical experience, even if they don't have a bunch of fancy degrees.
Second, we have this constant struggle between attorney-client privilege and a defendant's right to a fair trial. It really makes you think, can we really say justice is served if important evidence is hidden away because of this principle, even after the client is dead?
It's a question that's hard to answer. It really makes us think about whether there should be times when we make exceptions to this privilege, especially if it means preventing a wrongful conviction. This is something that legal experts are still debating.
It raises some serious questions about how our legal system balances conflicting interests. And finally, we have the court's decision on the consent to search. Even though it's not as controversial as the other two issues, it shows how important it is to be clear about what you're agreeing to when you're dealing with law enforcement.
I totally agree. It's super important to know your rights and what you're agreeing to in situations like that.
State v. McCumber is a fascinating case that really leaves us with a lot to think about. For example, where do we draw the line with attorney-client privilege? Are there any justifiable exceptions to the rule?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's a complex one with no easy answers. It's something that keeps legal experts talking and debating.
And this whole idea of practical experience versus having all the official credentials, it really makes you think, does this have an impact on other areas outside of law? I mean, it's not every day a court says experience is more important than education.
You're so right. It really challenges how we view expertise as a whole, not just in the legal field, but in all kinds of professions. Are we putting too much emphasis on degrees and titles and forgetting about real-world skills?
It's definitely food for thought. We live in a world that's obsessed with qualifications. But maybe this case shows that the most valuable knowledge sometimes comes from, you know, rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty.
I agree. It reminds us that expertise can be found in all sorts of unexpected places.
Okay, so we've covered the main points of State v. McCumber. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to Justice Holohan and his dissenting opinion for a second. He seemed to be struggling with the concept of absolute privilege versus ensuring a fair trial.
Oh, yeah, he definitely was wrestling with that. And what he had to say is even more relevant today. We're seeing more and more challenges to this idea of absolute privilege, especially when we're talking about possible wrongful convictions.
It feels like we're at a turning point when it comes to these traditional legal doctrines.
It really does. And you could even argue that Justice Holohan's dissent in State v. McCumber was like a preview of what's happening now. It's a strong argument for a more flexible approach to attorney-client privilege, an approach that also respects the rights of the accused.
So if our listeners want to learn more about this debate, where would you suggest they start?
Well, I definitely recommend reading Justice Holohan's full dissenting opinion in State v. McCumber. It's a masterclass in legal thinking, and he makes a powerful case for reevaluating our legal principles as the world changes.
Awesome. I'll be checking that out for sure. It shows that even cases from decades ago can still teach us something today.
Absolutely. Our legal system is constantly evolving as new situations come up.
So true. Well, thanks for walking us through this deep dive into State v. McCumber. It's been fascinating to explore how expert testimony, attorney-client privilege, and the right to a fair trial all intersect in this case.
It's been my pleasure. Cases like this are a great reminder of how powerful and complex the law can be.
Couldn't agree more. And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive got you thinking. Don't forget to look into these cases and concepts on your own if you're interested.
There's always something new to learn.
You said it. Well, that's all for this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, stay sharp, Legal Eagles.